Welcome to the Book of Mormon podcast. My name's Kyle, and I'm just a guy who really enjoys reading the Book of Mormon. As we journey through the text together, I'll do my best to help you stay on top of all the characters and storylines that are going on. But if you have any doctrinal or historical questions, you can get those answered in real time by reaching out on mormon.org/chat. Today's chapter is 1 Nephi 15. Up to this point, we've been following Lehi and his family. They live 600 years before the birth of Christ in Jerusalem, but they left town and they're headed to a promised land. Several chapters ago, Lehi shared a pretty incredible vision he had with his family, a dream in the night in which he saw lots of things. And Nephi, his most righteous son, after Lehi had finished speaking, asked God if he could have the same vision, and he did. And so in the last several chapters, Nephi has been having this amazing vision. Now in chapter 15, he's returning to his family, and he's going to be explaining both visions to his brethren. Now remember, Nephi's two oldest brothers, Laman and Lemuel, are not believers. They are really sort of terrifying guys who have tried to kill Nephi twice now. And then Nephi has a third brother named Sam, who's a good guy. He's on Nephi's side, if not quite as prophetic himself. So, verse 1. And it came to pass that after I, Nephi, had been carried away in the spirit and seen all these things, I returned to the tent of my father. And it came to pass that I beheld my brethren, and they were disputing one with another concerning the things which my father had spoken unto them. For he truly spake many great things unto them, which were hard to be understood, save a man should inquire of the Lord. And they being hardened their hearts, therefore they did not look unto the Lord as they ought. So Nephi comes back from having his vision, wherever he was, and he finds that his brothers are arguing, trying to figure out what in the world this vision that their father told them about meant. Verse 4, And now I, Nephi, was grieved because of the hardness of their hearts, and also because of the things which I had seen, and knew they must unavoidably come to pass because of the great wickedness of the children of men. And it came to pass that I was overcome because of my afflictions. For I considered that mine afflictions were great above all, because of the destruction of my people, for I had beheld their fall. In his vision, Nephi saw that his family would go to a promised land and give rise to a couple of warring nations, and the descendants of his brethren would ultimately wipe out his own descendants. So that's got to be pretty distressing. He's upset. He says he was overcome. It sounds like maybe he went and took a nap or something based on what happens in this next verse, verse 6. And it came to pass that after I had received my strength, I spake unto my brethren, desiring to know of them the cause of their disputations. And they said, Behold, we cannot understand the words which our father has spoken concerning the natural branches of the olive tree, and also concerning the Gentiles. And I said unto them, Have ye inquired of the Lord? And they said unto me, We have not, for the Lord maketh no such thing known unto us. So Nephi's brothers are in this vicious cycle that I think a lot of people throughout time have been in, which is, they don't believe in God, and because they don't believe in God, they don't ask God, and so they don't get answers from God because they just assume God won't give them any answers. And if you don't break out of that cycle and just ask God a question at some point, there's no way you're ever going to know God's really there. Verse 10, Behold, I said unto them, How is it that ye do not keep the commandments of the Lord? How is it that ye will perish because of the hardness of your hearts? Do ye not remember the things which the Lord has said? If ye will not harden your hearts and ask me in faith, believing that ye shall receive with diligence in keeping my commandments, surely these things shall be made known unto you. Nephi sounds like he's a little fed up with his brethren. That's understandable. So before answering their questions, he gives them a little bit of chastisement, which I'm sure they just loved. Verse 12, Behold, I say unto you that the house of Israel was compared unto an olive tree by the Spirit of the Lord which was in our father. And behold, are we not broken off from the house of Israel? And are we not a branch of the house of Israel? And now the thing which our father meaneth concerning the grafting in of the natural branches through the fullness of the Gentiles is that in the latter days, when our seed shall have dwindled in unbelief, yea, for the space of many years and many generations after the Messiah shall be manifested in body unto the children of men, then shall the fullness of the gospel of the Messiah come unto the Gentiles, and from the Gentiles unto the remnant of our seed. And at that day shall the remnant of our seed know that they are of the house of Israel, and that they are the covenant people of the Lord. And then shall they know and come to the knowledge of their forefathers, and also to the knowledge of the gospel of their Redeemer, which was ministered unto their fathers by him. Wherefore they shall come to the knowledge of their Redeemer and the very points of his doctrine, that they may know how to come unto him and be saved. And then at that day will they not rejoice and give praise unto their everlasting God, their rock and their salvation? Yea, at that day will they not receive the strength and nourishment from the true vine? Yea, will they not come unto the true fold of God? Behold, I say unto you, yea, they shall be remembered again among the house of Israel. They shall be grafted in, being a natural branch of the olive tree, into the true olive tree. And this is what our Father meaneth, and he meaneth that it will not come to pass until after they are scattered by the Gentiles. And he meaneth that it shall come by way of the Gentiles, that the Lord may show his power unto the Gentiles, for the very cause that he shall be rejected of the Jews or of the house of Israel. Wherefore, our Father hath not spoken of our seed alone, but also of all the house of Israel, pointing to the covenant which should be fulfilled in the latter days, which covenant the Lord made to our father Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Abraham is a person who shows up in Genesis in the Bible. He is kind of the father of the whole Israelite lineage, and God made promises unto him about blessings that he and his posterity would receive throughout time. And Nephi is referencing this, Lehi apparently did too, that even though the Israelites are going to be scattered all over the world, and they have been, God is going to remember them, and through the Gentiles, me and maybe you, the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to come unto the house of Israel. People are going to be converted and brought back to God. Verse 19, and it came to pass that I, Nephi, spake much unto them concerning these things. Yea, I spake unto them concerning the restoration of the Jews in the latter days. And I did rehearse unto them the words of Isaiah, that's another prophet in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, who spake concerning the restoration of the Jews, or of the house of Israel. And after they were restored, they should no more be confounded, neither should they be scattered again. And it came to pass that I did speak many words unto my brethren, that they were pacified and did humble themselves before the Lord. So actually, this speech or sermon or explanation from Nephi goes over really well. His brothers are pacified and they humble themselves before the Lord. That does happen occasionally with Laman and Lemuel, his two elder brothers, but not very often. So this is a victory. This is good. In the next several verses, there's a back and forth between Nephi and his brothers. They ask him questions about the vision. He answers them. So just as a quick review, remember in this vision that Lehi saw and then Nephi saw, there was a tree, there was a rod of iron leading to the tree, there was a river that people were falling into. Nephi's brothers are going to ask what these things represent, and Nephi, based on what he's seen in the last several chapters, is going to explain them. So this is a pretty good summary. It doesn't cover everything, but a pretty good summary of what has happened with that vision. Verse 21, and it came to pass that they did speak unto me again, saying, what meaneth this thing which our father saw in a dream? What meaneth the tree which he saw? And I said unto them, it was a representation of the tree of life. And they said unto me, what meaneth the rod of iron which our father saw that led to the tree? And I said unto them that it was the word of God. And whoso would hearken unto the word of God and would hold fast unto it, they would never perish. Neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness to lead them away to destruction. Wherefore I, Nephi, did exhort them to give heed unto the word of the Lord. Yea, I did exhort them with all the energies of my soul and with all the faculty which I possessed, that they would give heed to the word of God and remember to keep his commandments always in all things. And they said unto me, what meaneth the river of water which our father saw? And I said unto them that the water which my father saw was filthiness, and so much was his mind swallowed up in other things that he beheld not the filthiness of the water. And I said unto them that it was an awful gulf, which separated the wicked from the tree of life and also from the saints of God. And I said unto them that it was a representation of that awful hell which the angel said unto me was prepared for the wicked. And I said unto them that our father also saw that the justice of God did also divide the wicked from the righteous, and the brightness thereof was like unto the brightness of a flaming fire, which ascendeth up unto God for ever and ever, and hath no end. And they said unto me, doth this thing mean the torment of the body in the days of probation, or doth it mean the final state of the soul after the death of the temporal body? Or doth it speak of things which are temporal? This question is complicated, and it's sort of surprising to me, too. This is a pretty insightful question. Nephi has just explained the concept of hell and of punishment, a God's punishment, and his brothers apparently ask him, wait, are you talking about punishment in our mortal lives, or punishment in the eternal world afterward, or some combination of both, or something else entirely. And so they're paying attention. I kind of like to think that this is Sam asking this question, but it doesn't say. Maybe Laman and Lemuel are a lot smarter and a lot more clued in than we give them credit for. Anyway, here's this question, and that's what it means. Verse 32. And it came to pass that I said unto them that it was a representation of things both temporal and spiritual. For the day should come that they must be judged of their works, yea, even the works which were done by the temporal body in the days of their probation. Wherefore, if they should die in their wickedness, they must be cast off also, as to the things which are spiritual, which are pertaining to righteousness. Wherefore, they must be brought to stand before God to be judged of their works. And if their works have been filthiness, they must needs be filthy. And if they be filthy, it must needs be that they cannot dwell in the kingdom of God. If so, the kingdom of God must be filthy also. But behold, I say unto you, the kingdom of God is not filthy, and there cannot any unclean thing enter into the kingdom of God. Wherefore, there must needs be a place of filthiness prepared for that which is filthy. And there is a place prepared, yea, even that awful hell of which I have spoken, and the devil is the preparator of it. Wherefore, the final state of the souls of men is to dwell in the kingdom of God, or to be cast out because of that justice of which I have spoken. Wherefore, the wicked are rejected from the righteous, and also from the tree of life, whose fruit is most precious and most desirable above all other fruits. Yea, and it is the greatest of all the gifts of God. And thus I spake unto my brethren. Amen. So, I don't know for sure if hell was a new concept at this point. It sounds like Nephi and his brothers are not really familiar with it, which makes this vision all the more important and remarkable. They've just learned an important principle, which is that by believing in God and coming to him through the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus being the only possible savior of the world, then we get to have joy in this life and in the afterlife. We get to be with God and be happy. But if we reject God, there is a place prepared for us in the afterlife, which is not the happy, wonderful kingdom of God, but hell. That's all for this chapter, and that ends the story of these visions. Next time, we're going to get back into the journey through the wilderness.